Today's scripture reading from the book of Philippians, selected verses, starting at chapter 3, verses 4b through 9. These are words from a man who thought he had it all, the Apostle Paul. If someone else thinks they have a reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to a law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for the righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Moving on, chapter 3, verses 18 through 21 of Philippians. For many of whom I have told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. You may be seated.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for these next few Sundays in February, we're going to be using a theme which I'm naming Called to See. Call S-E-A, Call to See, like it says in your bulletin cover. The idea is that we're going to be focusing on our mission, the mission that God gives to his church around the world in general, but also the mission that God gives to his church here at Beautiful Savior specifically. And since we are as close as we are to certain important bodies of water, Columbia River, Pacific Ocean, I thought I'd try to tie this together with sort of a nautical sort of theme here these next few weeks, be it having to do with sailing or fishing or what have you. And in turn, the message is, I pray, will lead us into a renewed sense of emphasis on witness and on outreach. Because I would like to think that the next pastor who comes on board here, on board this ship of Beautiful Savior, he will already find a healthy amount of desire, of zeal, of momentum going when it comes to reaching out to our community, so that as he comes on board with the treadmill already running, he won't have to push start it himself. Not that I'm going to start a specific program that's going to lock us into it, but just the idea, the attitude, the zeal for what God calls us to. So today we prepare to set sail. Now, of course, no boat sets sail. It doesn't matter if it's a huge aircraft carrier or just a little dinky canoe. Even so, no boat sets sail unless there's been at least a certain amount of preparation. Before launching out, we have to be sure of our destination, of where we're going. The compass that we use must point to true north. Otherwise, we're not going to get to where we want to go. If our compass is not true, we will lose our way and find ourselves in places that we had
never intended.
In fact, just for fun, let's do this. Real quick exercise, okay? I'm going to ask you to, this is the scary part, but don't worry. Going to ask you to close your eyes or cover your eyes just for a moment. Go ahead and close them right now. With your eyes still closed or covered, point to the direction that you believe is true north. Point north. Now with the pointing still there, open your eyes. Look around, see where people are pointing. Most of you are pretty close. I like that. Probably good that we're right on a north-south street here. Yeah, that's north. That's north. Some of you were a little off. But that's to be expected. That's okay. But you see what I'm doing here. When you don't have a good sense of north, if your compass is not true, then you probably don't get to the places where you're trying to go. If you were to take off from PDX saying, well, I'm going to fly from here straight to Paris, France, if you're off by even just 1 degree, you'll end up in, I don't know, you'll end up in Belgium or something. Who wants to go there, you know? No, I'm sure Belgium is fine, but you won't get to Paris. So knowing your destination, knowing it accurately, is vital if you're going to reach that destination. So what is true north for us? What is true north for us? What is the ultimate destination? I mean, when all is finally said and done, for us, true north is heaven, isn't it? It's kind of convenient that a cross is almost shaped like a compass, and it points us to heaven, because that fits with this idea. That is true north for us. That is where we want to get to, and we want to take as many along with us as we go. In the reading you just heard, Philippians 3, verse 20, near the end of the reading, it says about as plainly as you can say it. It says there, but our citizenship is in heaven. You see, our compass points us beyond earthly things to things eternal. And by God's grace in Jesus Christ, we are northward bound. We are heaven bound, where we will see Jesus, our beautiful Savior, in all of his glory. He is the one who directs our mission. For as long as we are a congregation, for as long as any one of us walks this planet Earth. Hebrews 12 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at true north, at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus knows true north. And so as we prepare to set sail, we recognize that he is our captain. As we launch out into the world, he is the captain of our ship, the captain of our lives, the captain of our congregation. And so we look to him. He's going north. And we can have complete confidence that our captain knows exactly how to get there. We are to listen to his voice, obey his commands, because he, and he alone, of all the billions of people who have ever walked this earth or ever will walk this earth, he alone is the risen and victorious Lord and Savior to whom all authority has been given in heaven and on earth. He is the one who knows all things. So when he gives us a mission, and he says, now go, we can go boldly, confidently, because our captain knows exactly where we are going. The mission of our Lord is far too important for us to be off track. Jesus understood his mission very clearly. When he walked this earth, he said it many times in different kinds of ways. His mission, to seek and to save the lost. No obstacle could deter him. No risk would discourage him from his mission to reach the cross. That was his goal, because the cross was the only way to save human beings. If not for the completely
successful mission, the saving mission of Jesus, none of us would have a heavenly home. But all would be lost and condemned eternally as a consequence of our own fallenness, because the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And then as he passed that mission on to his disciples, he told them, I'll make you fishers of people. And here is where you and I come into the plan. He calls us on board the ship, his church, and he leads us out to sea to fish for those who are dying without him. Our captain's concern is not merely for those who are on board, who are within the church, but for those who are not. In fact, there is a sense of urgency, because for those who are not yet on board, there is a real chance of losing them. There is no other ship that can rescue them. We are it. We who have been born into our heavenly citizenship through baptism, through God's word, we're not merely on, this is not a cruise ship for food and entertainment. We are not merely passengers expecting to be served, our every whim catered to. No, we are on the crew. Our Savior invites us to be partners with him in his mission, where he is the captain of the ship. And on any ship, a Navy destroyer, a barge, a cargo liner, luxury cruise, whatever else, you'll find that any well-run ship, the crew members understand the necessity of fulfilling their roles. They understand the necessity of following the orders of the captain with loyalty and with trust. So also we are to hear and to respond to our Lord's commands with loyalty and trust, not only because of his authority, but also because of his love. You read through the pages of Scripture and you see God revealing his heart so many times. And so many times it's with pain. Jesus at one point said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, stone those who are sent to you. How often I have longed to gather you together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you weren't willing. It breaks his heart. And what does our captain call us to do as we prepare? As we prepare to set sail. First, pull up the anchor. Seems obvious, right? But, you know, pull up the anchor, untie from the dock. Obvious, perhaps. But crucial, absolutely. If we don't pull up the anchor, the journey will come to a very abrupt end, won't it? So look around the deck. What are those things that can sometimes hold us down? Keep us from launching out, getting away from the comfort zone that is so nice and calm close to shore, taking risks to go out on God's mission? Is it fear of the uncharted waters? I mean, we don't know all that is out there, but we know it's not all good. Afraid it might get deeper than we were expecting, and we'd be called to more effort than we were anticipating. We might not be able to handle it. As you look through the pages of Scripture, one thing is for sure, that is that our captain is not content to let us stay on board, anchor to anything that will keep us from wholeheartedly living as one of his crew members. When Jesus calls his disciples, whether in Bible times or whether today, When Jesus calls his disciples, it's a call to leave behind our secure ties to this world. Look, a ship is shaped to cut the water, right? Again, any kind of ship, canoe, ocean liner, whatever, it's designed to be in motion. And so this ship that we call church, God's church, is designed by him to be in motion. When Jesus says, come follow me, that's a call to quit hugging the shores of pride or materialism or anything else. It is a call to forgo the sentimentality that sometimes creeps in as we look to the past and say, wasn't that great? Don't you remember 10 or 20 or 40 or 50 years ago? Weren't we a wonderful church then? Let's go back there. And instead, our captain calls us to keep moving forward, to launch out into the deep, where the fish he knows will be found. You see, Jesus' vision goes far beyond ours. Jesus' vision goes beyond our horizon, seeing past our limited view of things, and he gives us, and he gives all of his followers, the command to go make disciples of all nations, of all people groups, of all demographics, of all communities, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Our captain has given us the order, pull up the anchor. Anchors away. He doesn't place any limits on how long we are to be about this mission. This is not, you know, you don't sign up for a year and then you're done. He doesn't place any limit on how much of ourselves we are to invest, time, energy, finances, whatever. But nor does the captain give any quotas on how many disciples we had better catch, or else we're going to get kicked off board. You see, catching nothing in our captain's eyes, catching nothing is not the failure, but not even pulling up anchor is. And if ever there was a great example of someone in the Bible who pulled up his anchor to the things of this earth in order to follow his captain Jesus, it would have to be the Apostle Paul. When Paul proclaimed what we heard today, our citizenship is in heaven. Not only was this man's anchor in the boat, he was already setting sail. And this truth is even more powerfully made in words just a few verses earlier, Philippians 3, it's in verse 7, where he says, and you heard this part earlier, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. And then he says this, listen, he says, I consider them rubbish, garbage was the translation earlier. I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Paul considers everything trash compared to the value of knowing Jesus as his Lord and Savior and Captain. Rubbish, garbage, trash. Maybe he's just being overly dramatic here. Maybe he's just trying to impress us somehow. No, I don't think so. There isn't anything more important, is there? Nothing more important than knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And knowing him, there's nothing more important than to give all we can, to do all we can, in order to venture out to those not in the boat, lost without Christ. So let's not allow complacency to get in the way. New times are coming, right? A new future is just around the corner for a beautiful Savior. Not just because a new pastor is coming. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. Not only is the church today, its beautiful Savior today, different than it was 10, 20, 40, whatever years ago, but it will look different 10 years from now, 5 years, 2 years from now than it does today. Not a different Jesus, not a different gospel, but different ways we reach people with the gospel. New means by which we can connect people to Jesus. You can just hear the anchor splash and plummet to the bottom, as sometimes we're prone to say, but we haven't done that before. And kerplunk, down goes the anchor. Or maybe sometimes we find ourselves exhibiting a little bit too much, I don't know the word, clutchiness, right? With wealth or talents that God has given us, even though he challenged us to give generously, to act courageously, promising us that, you know what, even the gates of hell cannot sink his ship. But we hold on, and kerplunk, the anchor goes down. Then again, maybe sometimes it's just simple complacency, without really intending to, without really meaning to. There are times that we might lose focus on the importance of saving more souls, the importance of, you know, just keeping it in our prayers. And suddenly, kerplunk, there goes another anchor. Please understand that the captain who calls us to pull up anchor is the same captain who pulled up anchor to all that is rightfully his in order to complete his mission to save us sinners. Jesus pulled up anchor from the glories of heaven in order to enter our world as a mere baby. He launched out into this earth sinless, completely pure, in order to bear the judgment of death that we deserve because of our sin. On the cross, not only was the anchor pulled up, it was completely severed. The chain, the rope, whatever it is, it was broken. Severed from his heavenly glory, he even was abandoned by his Father. He humbled himself, it says in Philippians, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, in some TV shows or movies, you can tell who's going to get it. You can tell that, you know, one or two of these extras, they're not going to make it through the shootout. Or on Star Trek, one of those red shirt guys is there, you know. But the captain always lives. John Wayne always survives. But look, this is not some extra. This is not the cabin boy who gets just a few seconds of screen time. This is the star. This is the captain of the ship himself who walks the plank, who goes to the cross in our place. None of us would even be on the crew if it were not his saving grace given to us as a free gift, received through faith. And so we prepare to sail. Next week, we're going to continue with a piece I'm calling Charting the Course. We already spoke earlier about how important it is to know where true north is, right? So we'll kind of build on that and expand on that concept a little bit more and find out what it means as a church that wants to be in motion, what it means to chart the course. But for today, with the lines cast off, with the anchor weighed, we now hoist the sails. We hoist the sails with a prayer. Lord, let the wind blow. The wind, as you might guess, would be the Holy Spirit. who fills our sails. He takes us to fulfill our mission. And how our captain wants to lavish us with his Holy Spirit. Jesus says in Luke 11:13, if you then, even if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit for those who ask him? And when the wind blows, when the sails fill, that's when it's time for all hands on deck. See, every one of you brings your own gifts, abilities, talents, whatever it is. You bring them on board this ship. Maybe to serve, it may be to lead, maybe to support, to have great faith, to encourage. It may be to pray stridently, to give generously, to show hospitality, so many different things. There is a task for every crew member and a crew member for every task. This is not a time to break out the lounge chairs. There's too much at stake. Because when you set sail, everyone's needed. And certainly all hands on deck for prayer. Prayer is so important for our journey. And the Holy Spirit is active when we pray, taking our what can be just groanings and mumblings and babblings and make them acceptable to God. Listen to what the same Apostle Paul, this faithful crew member, says to the other members of the crew in his day. It's from Colossians 4. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. So with that, let's you and I, as you're able to, let's you and I stand and pray right now. Pray to God as we prepare to launch out into the deep. Jesus, our captain, by your grace, you have given us permission to come on board, to board this ship of your church as we set out, not on a luxury cruise, but on a rescue mission. And each of us has a useful place on this crew. We have to admit, though, that there are times when it doesn't seem that we can possibly succeed. The waters are deep. The weather is stormy. And then you give the command to go out from the shore where the conditions are, well, we just don't know what it's going to be like. And that can make us awfully nervous. And yet we know that no matter how bad things can look sometimes, even the wind and waves listen to your voice and obey. And so give us the grace to listen to your voice and respond with trust and confidence as well. The destination is clear. The anchor is pulled up. And now let the Spirit fill the sails of our faith. So give the command, Lord. Give the command of your mercy. And let us hear once more, again today, that on board this ship, all is forgiven.